my lifetime. That's terrible, because we know that we're not supposed to call people that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have spent 9 weeks, believe it or not, on The Secret Place. The intent, remember when I started in the beginning of the year, I said we're going to go till we can get this all out. Today we're going to conclude with it. Not, I'm going to do the last three verses, but then I want to go over the entirety of it. I think sometimes ministers get too busy to prepare as well as we would like. It just is kind of like a tube of toothpaste. You know how you do your toothpaste and you get it all squeezed out and it's like, nah, never mind, you throw it away. But then there's times where you ran out of toothpaste, so you go back and you twirl that puppy up and you can get at least three or four more brushings out of it. That's what I feel like I have done with this scripture. And instead of just squeezing the tube and going, by breaking it down in the original language, it turns into this most powerful thing. And the whole, all of it is all about our faith. And what has happened is we have been taught everything is about our works. Now, let me explain this, because Dwayne was talking about where James said, faith without works. Those works are not the works. It's a different word in the original language. That's what I'm saying. I've always said our language is lazy. For instance, the word love. Man, I love you, and I love tacos, and I love rain, and you see what I'm saying? Like in Greek, there's five different words for the word love. So in James's, when he's talking about works, he's talking about works of the heart that have been planted and fruited in you, like the works of the Holy Spirit, as opposed to works of the law, which is a totally different thing. The reason I say that is this. When we really believe, it's why Jesus said, do this according to your faith. Now, when we hear according to your faith, immediately we're like, well, I don't have any faith. Faith is your belief in what Jesus did on the cross. When we take that in, let me just save that for right now. Let's go to the... Here's the last of the scripture right here. Of this, there's 16 verses. We're at 14. Because this is God right here speaking. Because he has set his love upon me. In other words, because we have set our love upon God. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him and I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him. But notice he'll be with you in trouble. Because ladies and gentlemen, we get in trouble. But he'll deliver me. Yeah, but to be delivered, you got to be into something. You get what I'm saying? Well, whatever. I'll get there. With long life, he says, this is powerful scripture, and this is the one that gets everybody. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. I'm going to stay on point with these three scriptures, and then I want to finish it with the entire thing. Look, so let's go to that. The very first verse is verse 14. Because I have set my love upon me, because he set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him, and I will set him on high, because he has known my name. So it's very clear that this is for us to set our love upon God. However, now watch this. No matter how good, I'm being brutally honest today because we need to be honest. No matter how good a Christian that I am, my love for God fails. It just does. And here's what I believe. I believe in sending Jesus that God was saying, look, kid, I know you can't. So let me love you with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength and all my... I'm telling you. Well, you know, but the Bible says you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. In that old covenant, it did. Absolutely did. But then we have this new thing, and his name is Jesus. And he took care of all of this craziness on the cross. Now, watch this. So, in sending Jesus, and this is the whole crux of the gospel of Jesus. Look at this, 1 John. This is the new covenant right here. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. That's like John 3:16, right? This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. We get so hung up on,
I've got to love God more. If you would just get hung up on recognizing the precious prize that you are to Him, that's how you can set your love upon Him. It's getting a little deep. So there's my question. So how do I set my love upon God? I set my mind on how greatly loved and dearly prized that I am. We really don't believe that. I never believed that my whole life until about the last 10, 15 years. God values me. I used to have a plaque and I didn't even believe it. It says, I'm me, I'm wonderful, because God don't make junk. And I would laugh and tell about it. I didn't believe it, but I believe it now because I'm starting to understand this crazy love that He has for me. I am starting to understand that I am the pearl of great price. I am. That's not arrogant. That's powerful. Because when you start believing that, wow, your life totally changes, and you can believe the other parts of what He says to us. And this word, the word is true, correct? God is not a liar, correct? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? So these words that He speaks to us are true. All we have to do is believe. Wow. Man. I love it. So, where am I at? Right here. So, how do I set my mind on love my God? I set my mind on how greatly loved and dearly prized I am. I become more conscious. The more conscious that I become of His love for me, the more I am delivered. The more I understand His love for me, the more I am delivered. You will never get delivered by chasing a chip. You will never get delivered. You will only be delivered when you start understanding the depth of the love that He has for you, and that will set you free. There is something in human nature in all of us that have this want and desire for somebody to love me just for who I am. Even if I got a zit on my face, even if I'm big and fat and ugly, whatever, just for who I am, just because I like opera and you don't. But there's really nobody like that because everybody has these agendas. But then here's God, and we got this magnet that's drawn to something upward there anyway. And here's God that is that very person. For crying out loud, folks, He made you. He made you to be you, to be you, not to be me. God help us. So, the stress of the new covenant is God's love for us, not our love for Him. Now listen, stop right there. I can hear your brains. Our love for God is not unimportant. That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is our love for God wavers. His love never fails. I promise you, there's pockets of you don't. If you get mad at God, then there's a pocket there that you don't love Him. Do you get what I mean? God did. Stop. He has this crazy love for you. And have you ever thought that maybe your circumstances is what got you in trouble anyway? Maybe, just maybe, you shouldn't have run that red light, you know. Watch out for that speed trap on 820. That is not a speed trap, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't speed. I don't walk under the law of the United States of America. You know why? Because I am not a lawbreaker. If you don't ever break the law, you're not walking the law, right? That's a whole different sermon. I'll keep going. So His love never fails. Lamentations, we never go there, so we'll let you. The faithful love of the Lord, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies, wow, they never cease. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. When I get up in the morning, and man, sometimes I've had a long night, so my morning almost turns into afternoon. But when I get up finally, that's almost the first words out of my mouth. Mercy today, oh God. Thank you. Don't let there be any traffic out there to make me mad. That doesn't work ever, by the way. So that's that verse. And then here's this next verse, verse 15. And I'm not. It says, He shall call upon me, and I'll answer Him. Listen, if you don't call, He ain't going to answer. Do you hear what I'm saying? Don't sit there and go, man, yesterday I was really going through it, dude, and I couldn't believe that you didn't talk to me. Well, you didn't call. Do you get it? He said, call on me. Call on me, and I'm going to answer. Now, let me tell you something. When he answers, it might not be yes. So it might not be no. A whole lot of times, it's wait. And that's the tough one. And I will be with him in trouble. Remember, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how they went, was thrown into the fiery furnace, and how Jesus was thrown in there with them. Listen, what does that tell you? That tells you he's going to be in the midst. He's going to be in the midst of your trouble. But let me tell you something else, too. He's going to give you wisdom to stay out of trouble. Do you get what I'm saying? Sometimes he's got to be going, man, I got to go again. Look what he shall call upon me, and I'll answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. Let me see what I wrote. If we call on him, he will answer. Why? Because he cares. My cell phone rings, and I look at that number, and I don't know that number. And if you don't leave a message, you ain't getting a response, because if it ain't important enough to leave a message, it ain't important enough to call me. Truth is, most everybody that has my cell phone number, I know the number, right? So the point I'm making is the reason I will answer that phone call is because I sit and it's like, because I care. Now, if you know it's a salesperson, you don't care. Salesperson. In fact, you not only don't care, you add him to the reject list. I probably have more reject list people in my phone than I do people. So he really does care. And this is where we don't get it, because we view circumstances and we think that he doesn't care. Now, let me just say something just on a very base level. You as a parent seen your child get in trouble, or you got in trouble as a child, and even though there was a big mess there, you knew your parent cared, or you know you care, right? He cares for you. God, why would God make you to kill you? Why would he do that? That's silly. That would be like Dell Computers making this, spend all these years to build this computer, and they get it finished and then just smash it like a bug. He's like, pff, pff, pff. Here's a good scripture for you, just so you understand. I like the word, by the way. So, humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he's going to lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and your cares to God, because he cares. I can't tell you the people who would tell me, you know, man, this was happening. And I'm like, you should talk to God about it. Well, no, he already knows. Listen, if I know what I want for Christmas, I'm going to let everybody know. And I'm going to say it over and over and over. I'm going to hint about it. I'm going to look at my wife and say, hope you're saving some money for that for Christmas. I'm going to let people know about it, right? Listen, this is awesome. We give all of our worries to him, all of our cares to him. Why? Because he cares. He really cares. He's the most amazing. This is so trite. Good Lord, he's God. But he's just the most amazing being that has ever been in my life, ever. He shakes, rattles, and rolls every avenue of me. He makes me younger every day. And I ain't playing. It's amazing. It's amazing. Next scripture. So don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Now, when you see that, when I was a child and I was taught how this, when I saw this pray about everything, it was like, oh, brother. You know, or we're talking about, singing songs and spiritual hymns and all the time. And it's like, so I'm just supposed to be walking around singing and look, pray about everything isn't, oh, God, my gracious God, I'm so... Stop, man. Prayer is the word communication. That's simply what it means in the Greek language. Prayer is communicating. I pray about everything. I really do. But it's not some kind of holy majo that we all have made up over the years because we're supposed to. It's legit prayer. It's like,
God, could you find me a better route than this stupid Google thing is telling me? That actually happened to me the other night. I got a call into Richland Hills. And I did the Google thing because I know Haltom City. I don't know Richland Hills. And so I do the Google thing, and you know, I turn left on 28th. I did that. I get all the way down to where I think in my brain I need to turn left, and she won't talk. And normally you can't shut the thing up. I can't tell you the times where Gay was, we're driving. I'm like, I know where I'm going. Would you turn that stupid thing off? You know, because she's, you missed your turn, idiot. You know, that's what I feel like it's saying. So I get to where I'm thinking I'm supposed to turn left because I kind of know how to get there, and she doesn't say nothing, so I go ahead and turn left. She still doesn't say anything, so I'm ticking the thing and turning it up. So it's still got the little arrow, so I'm on the right track. Anyway, I drive all the way there without Siri. I don't have a Siri. I have a Galaxy, so whatever her name is. Is it Galaxy? Whatever her name is, I have her, and she was pointless for me. And so finally, it reached to the point of pray about everything. I didn't say, oh, my gracious Heavenly Father, direct me on your paths to this call. I said, God, I feel like I'm about a block away. Could you help me here? That's the truth. That was my prayer. And my prayer was answered because I pulled up and there's like 6 cop cars and I knew that's where I was supposed to be. That's the truth because it looked like, according to Google, maybe that was it. It wasn't my Galaxy. It was that Google woman that talks. So just, I'm mad. I'm mad now. Anyway, it was supposed to be off a little bit from the main street, but it wasn't. So that is a prayer about everything. It's not, don't be silly with it. You can have a conversation with God just like you have a conversation with me. Seriously, guys, I don't just say that to be funny because it's just really true. And I know God's got to get, not irritated, but he's got to just be baffled at us. Because we'll talk like this, and then let's pray. Oh, God, I thank thee that thou hast. It's like, he's like, what are you doing? Just, God, talk to me like you talk to him. And then we rip off our shopping list and hand it to him, and we walk out. And he's like, that's it? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. He already knows what I need. You just think he did. It's just like that Christmas gift I'm telling you about. We always make sure people know what we want, right? Tell him what you need. He already knows. When you were a child and you went to your parents, and did you not bug them all the time? Did you know Jesus taught a whole parable on that? Jesus taught a whole parable about that woman that kept bugging the judge. And finally, the judge is like, God, give her what she wants and get her out of my hair. That's the truth. Just bug them. But the truth is, you're going to tell them, God, you know what? And I've said this to him. You know what I need. So I need you to determine if this is a need or a want. But this is what I kind of want, need. And be honest with him. It's awesome. Verse 7. After you watch, don't worry about anything. So pray about everything. And I promise you, when you pray about everything, you'll quit worrying about anything. It's really true. And then he says, then. In other words, because if you don't worry about everything, you start praying about everything, then you will experience God's peace. You will be peaceful in the midst of the storm. I am so in that place right now in my life. I'm telling you, I was on the phone last night with a friend, and I said, you know what? I'm to the place to where I can be on that boat with Jesus, and I ain't going to wake him up. I'm going to sleep with him. Listen, in the midst of all of it, there is a God that loves you beyond crazy belief. So that's when you're going to experience his peace, which exceeds anything that you can understand. I've had people tell me when my daughter died, you're just not dealing with it. Oh, no, I'm walking in peace that's not, you can't understand. And some, I don't want you to understand. So the peace that you understand, and then his peace will guard your hearts and guard your minds. His peace will guard your mind. Watch this. Those of you who just can't sleep at night with all your turmoil tossing and turning because I can't shut my brain off, then you're not walking in his peace. Well, how do I do that? You don't worry about anything and you pray about everything. So because he put those together, I'm just thinking that maybe he meant when you start worrying about that thing, start praying about that thing.
You know, God, I just don't know how I'm going to make it tomorrow. But I do understand that your word says that you are my provider, that you're going to give me, and I don't even deserve it. You really can't love me that much. Yet I know I kind of love my child even that way. But God, I don't know that I can pay that bill. But, oh, God, you said you will provide. So I've got to believe that now. Here's what I need. I need you to pay that bill. And it wouldn't hurt my feelings if I could have a Griff's burger too. I promise you, I have said stuff like that to him because we're friends. That kind of, I don't want to lower him. But I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable with Jesus, man. He loves me. He made me this way for some reason, and I'm good with it now. I used to not be. Isn't it funny how you always want to line up to how other people view you? And if you just line up how he views you, and he views you through those blood-stained glasses, and he can't see anything but Jesus when he looks at you. Do you get that? When Jesus did his thing on the cross and the enemy comes up and Hasatan, which means the accuser, comes up and starts accusing, you know, I'm to the point now of saying, I'm there. Here's Satan accusing me. Here's Jesus and there's God behind him. Satan's blasting me with the accusation and I'm telling him the whole time, that's right, that's exactly right. Oh, I did that. I even thought worse than that. Yep, that's true, buddy. And you got Jesus over there going, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. Why? Not because of what I have done, but because of what he did. When you really start believing that, you will be spry like me. I actually do some Tai Chi and stuff all the time. I'm telling you, I am in a place. What's so funny is when I first got into this place of being crazy in love with Jesus' love for me. Isn't that funny? I'm in love with his love for me. When I got to that place, things just got light. I know I didn't lose weight. Don't get excited there. Although I probably could at some point in time. Let me see where I'm at because I really want to get to the end. I am towards it. So, where am I at? Okay, I'm perfect. Let's go to that last the next scripture, which is verse 16. This is the last of it. With long life, love this, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, this is where people get freaked out because a lot of people don't live a long life. And we're like, okay, then the word's not true. To be real honest, too, what is long? You know what I'm saying? I mean, my mother's 90 years old, and that's a long life, unless you look at that lady that's 122 years old, and my mom's a puppy. Do you get it? So it is relative. I get that. But here's what's important. The key word there is, with long life, I will satisfy him. That word satisfy means to, how do I put it, man? It means to be sated, to be full, to be completed, to be, let me see how I did this. How did I do this time? Okay, well, I did it very simply, I think. Yeah, well, okay, I'm talking to myself, sorry. Hey, as long as I don't start answering myself, you'll be okay. You got that? Yes, I do. Okay, thanks. So, watch this. Let me just stick on the long life for a second. Everybody, well, you probably not everybody. That's unfair. Are you familiar with Joshua and Caleb? And when God released Israel miraculously from Egypt, and they went to go into their land that God had promised them. They sent in 12 spies. And 10 of these spies came back and said, we can't whip them, man. We can't do it. And 2 came back and said, yes, we can. In fact, Caleb, the Bible says, that Caleb, everybody was so angry, he calmed everybody down and said, look, folks, we can do this. Because God is on our side, we can do this. I mean, he made it clear to them. And it was so funny. He made it clear to them, and they turned around and wanted to kill him. That's really true. It's like, oh, don't tell me the truth. You're dead. Anyway, they didn't kill him. So Joshua and Caleb came back and said, we can do this. 10 of them said, we can't. It shows you how good democracy is. And so they didn't go. So what happened? Do you remember what happened? God said they had to wander for 40 years in the wilderness. Remember that story? And everybody that wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, every single person died except for Joshua and Caleb because God had made them a promise. Now, here's what I want you to see and I want you to love. Caleb, look at this, man. Caleb had to wander for 40 years too, and he didn't even want to wander. It was not his fault. Do you get it? It was not Caleb's fault nor Joshua's fault that these goofheads, because what happened was God said, oh, you don't want to go in? Fine. Then you're going to wander around until you're all dead, and then you'll be able to go in. All right? So you get this story. So at this point in time, Caleb is about, probably with all the battles that happened after they went in, he's probably in his early 40s, late 30s, early 40s. And so at that time, they're okay, what do you want property-wise? What do you want property-wise? Well, you know, we got the Levites have to have this and blah, blah, blah. And Caleb says, I want that mountain right there. Okay, Caleb, that's yours. Well, then all this thing falls down. And so we're fast forward, which, by the way, the name Caleb is a great name. It means to be bold and to be fly by the seat of your pants is the best way to put that word. You know, just do it. He's when Peter walked on the water, and you know, that's a funny story because I see it in 3D. Peter just is all glad. Man, I'm walking on water, guys. I'm walking on water. Oh, my God. You know, that's type of thing. He just did it before he thought about it. Otherwise, he wouldn't have. And he actually got it pretty far away because the Bible says that Jesus picked him up and took him to the boat. Anyway, so Caleb, 85 years old, been 40 years in the wilderness for something that he did not do, kind of like us and Adam and Eve when they did their thing, and we didn't do nothing wrong, but we have to be born with the sin nature. What he didn't do, Caleb didn't do anything. His biggest problem was he was faithful to God. His biggest problem was he didn't care. His biggest problem was he loved God, didn't care. I love God. He said it. We're going to do it. That's what faith belief is. That's what faith is. Faith is not casting your red out on the water and waiting to see it comes back buttered. That's not faith. Faith is saying, I'm there, whatever, God, let's do this thing. That's who Caleb was. So you fast forward now. They finally did all the wilderness thing. Caleb is now 85 years old. 85 years old. And here's what he says. Now, as you can see the Lord, or as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well, as he promised, for all of these 45 years since Moses made this promise. You get it, 40 years in the wilderness, 5 years of the battle. Made this promise even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Today, I'm 85 years old, he's saying. I'm 85. Is anybody in here 85? Anybody in here 85? Oh, anybody in here? Madge, I believe Madge is in her 90s. We got a handful of people 85. Watch this, you're going to love this. So here's how he goes. I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey, and I can still travel, and I can still fight as well as I could then. So give me the hill country, which literally means give me my mountain, because he had asked for that mountain in the beginning. And they were giving him an option to take something that he didn't have to have a mountain for, because there's a lot of giants in that mountain. But he said, so give me that hill country that the Lord promised me 45 years ago. But I want you to key in on, he said, I'm just as strong now as I was when Moses sent me. There has got to be a reason why he was there. And I'm telling you, I believe it with all my heart, that it's that satisfaction of life, which is where we're headed in this last scripture where it says this satisfaction of life. I want you to know, God says, I'm going to give you long life that will satisfy you. That satisfaction has to do with our fullness. Again, that word means full and sated and complete and over. I want you to hear me. I firmly believe that when we get to the place of time, as we believe strongly and receive God's love and do that, that we are going to know, we're going to know. We're going to know when it's done. How many calls have I been on where people hang on? You ever had that? You ever had a loved one die and people around you would tell you, because they're just real sick and they haven't gone yet? So people ask, well, have you released them? What do you mean? Well, have you told them it's okay? Well, no. So you do, and you go in, and you tell them, maybe it's okay, go ahead and go to heaven. And boom, they go. Have you seen that happen? I had a call one time with the fire department. This guy had been hanging for about a month. And I'm talking to the family, and I'm like, have y'all told him he could go? Well, yes, sir, we have. You know, yes, sir. Well, one thing he said, I said, what? He wanted the priest to come in and do last rites. I said, why haven't you done that? Well, we don't have a priest. I need a priest. Here comes a priest. He does his thing, last rites. Priest doesn't get out the door. Dude's gone. He was hanging on. You get what I'm saying? I'm telling you that's what that satisfy. Look at the next scripture, the Apostle Paul. Yes. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. Look, the time of my death is near. Paul saw it coming. He's writing to Timothy. Paul saw it coming. I fought the good fight. I have finished my race. And I have remained faithful. There's going to be a day where I believe that I can, when my day and time is done, and I don't think it is yet. I'm telling you, I promise, I feel healthier today than I did 5 years ago, and there's nothing nobody to credit but to the God that I love and that he loves me. I'm telling you, it's the truth. I don't get it. You know, this year we're going to be celebrating our 25th anniversary at this church. And the church actually has been in existence for 50, so we've been half here this half the time. And I told the Lord this morning, I want my mountain. I want another 25. Then I did the math. And I thought, they might not want another 25, but I want another 25. Because another 25 for me puts me like 88, and y'all be hearing the same sermon every week.
Today, I'm going to talk about Jesus.
So, can you go back to that last scripture about with long life, I will satisfy him. With long life, God is saying, I will satisfy him. I will satisfy you to the point of where, you know, listen, I can't tell you, this set bells and whistles off of me. My granddad was in a coma, but he wasn't ready to go, evidently. He was in a coma. He was, the whole family finally had gathered. And he hadn't been out of this coma for like a week or something. So we're just thinking, oh, man, he's fixing. You know, I already pulled the plug, and that don't work. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. I had one in California. The family's like, man, we just don't know what to do. Should we pull the plug? And I just told him, and I would tell you the same thing. I said, you know what? Just pull the plug, and if it's time for him to go, he'll go. And if it's not, he'll get well. I 99% thought he was going to go because he was in his like late 90s. This dude, they unplugged him. Oh, hey! He was back for about two more years. No, I'm not lying. He died like right at 100 years old, and he was at 98. And I'm like, wow, that really worked. Why? Because he wasn't satisfied yet. Do you get it? Listen to me. I firmly believe that's why Billy Graham's still alive, and he's 90-some. Because he isn't satisfied yet. I also firmly believe that Jerry Falwell had a massive heart attack sitting at his desk, and he was fully satisfied. So he could go to that next verse. He could go to that Timothy verse, not that one, the other one. Sorry, thanks. As for me in my life already, I poured it out to God. My time of death is near. I fought the good fight. I'm tetelestai. I'm finished. Paul knew it. I'm done. I've written all you the letters I can. Y'all hate me about it. I've written you letters and then had to tell you, no, I'm not telling you to go out and sin more stupid. I'm telling you how awesome Jesus is. And I'm satisfied with life, and I've finished my course. I've been faithful. I believe everybody, we have that in us. If we believe, which leads me to this entire sermon series, which is where we started, and this is my conclusion. We're going to first read the regular version with the toothpaste a little bit still in it. Then we'll read the one where I squeezed it out. So here it is. Let's go to the next one. Thank you. So here we go. Y'all read this with me. We've been reading it for 9 weeks. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. That's powerful just right there. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Look how good he is. 1,000 is going to fall at your side. Remember we talked about Desmond Doss. Remember that? About Hacksaw Ridge guy. Hacksaw Ridge, right? Yeah. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near you. Do you hear what the promise is? The only way you're going to get the promise is not by trying to line your life up. The only way you're going to get the promise is to believe the promise. We've got to believe the promise. So, verse 8, only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. 9, because you have made the Lord, who's my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. There's your have to, because you're hanging with him now, just with him. No evil's going to fall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, but I've been sick. Believe! For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra and the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot, because, here we are today, he has set his love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he's known my name. And he shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Is that just some of the greatest scripture ever? But I want you to see something. There's more in it. Because, again, our language, the English language is difficult to express because we don't have the terms. For instance, I tell you about there's five words for love. There's phileo love, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. That's about brotherly love. But I'm saying, man, I love you, Tom. I don't, you know, and I don't mean him, I love him eros, because eros is the love you have for your wife, love. That's, you know, so, but we don't separate it. Do you see it? So I squeezed more out of this toothpaste as best I can, and here's what I want you to hear. This is so powerful if you will only believe. Jesus said it when the dude wanted to be healed. The dude goes, man, I know you can probably heal me. And Jesus said, you just have to believe. And what the guy said, help me with my unbelief. Do you see? And you know what Jesus did when after he, you know what Jesus' answer was to help me with my unbelief? He healed him. Amen. Oh, you don't believe? Bam, you're whole. Woo-hoo, I believe now. It's because he's crazy in love with us. Here we are. This is it. This is the SVV. That's Steve Van Zandt vetted. You like that, didn't you? He who settles in, this is a key, sits down. Always go to Ephesians 1 and Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 1 talks about Jesus and how awesome he is and how he's at the right hand of God the Father and how everything, all principalities and powers are under his feet. And the next chapter says, and we're sitting there with him. So sit down and shut up what I'm saying. He who settles in, sits, and by the way, this is all incorporated in the meaning of the Hebrew words here. He who settles in, sits down, and occupies the secret hiding place of the Most High, the Supreme Lord above all other gods, shall rest under the protective shade of the invincible, omnipotent. Omnipotent means all-powerful. Omnipotent God. I will speak from my heart and confirm the promises of the Lord. He is my hope, my place of safety from all raging storms, dangers, and deceptive lies of the enemy. What's a deceptive lie of the enemy to your heart? That you're lousy, that you're no good, that you can't do this. It's a lie. Tell him he's a liar. He's a liar. And because you're sitting with Jesus and he's under your feet, write a nasty note to him on your shoes, the bottom of your shoes. Just write, you are a brrr. And so every time he says that, don't really write the bad part. My wife was not in here, so I could say that. So he's my hope, my place of safety from all raging storms, dangers. His fortification cannot be infiltrated. What does that mean? Stay in there. Stay in that secret place. His fortification can't be infiltrated, and he tenderly wraps me in his secure and powerful arms. And I have total confidence that everything concerning my life is under his perfect control. Let's keep going. It gets gooder. And without a doubt, God will release you from the tragic plans and the traps of your pursuer. He will liberate your mind from the stalker's enticement of sin, guilt, and shame. Wow. He will rescue you from the ruin and destruction of any plague or disease. But you don't get it. I don't care what you got. Stop talking about what you got and go to who got you what you don't. It.
I'll tell you another secret too here in a second that I think might have starting to set me free a little bit. Beneath his strong wings of mercy and grace, you will find trust and hope. His stability and trustworthiness will be your shield of protection. Your shield of protection is not your own trustworthiness. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because that's where the enemy is going to hammer you. And sometimes the enemy is the people that talk to you. It's about him. That's why when people come and say, you know what? I heard you do this the other day. I sure probably did, and I hope to shout I might do it again, but I don't want to. But it ain't about me, buddy. It's this. You get what I'm saying? That's what that, you heard me say that a million times. This is what this means. His stability, his trustworthiness is my shield of protection and my defending source against all the weapons of the enemy. Guilt, shame, you name it. No, sir, buddy. I'm protected because of him, not me. Here we go. And so you will not fear or be alarmed or upset or panic. That's all incorporated in one word. That's why I pounded it here. You will not fear, be alarmed, upset, or panic during anxiety or dread at night, nor will you fear, be alarmed, upset, or panic at the sharp arrows of the intended hurts, lacerations, and bruises that hover over you by day. By day, because that's when people are awake and they're hurting you. Nor will you fear, be alarmed, upset, or panic at any contagious or infectious disease or sickness that lurks in the gloominess of despair and discouragement. Nor will you fear, be alarmed, upset, or panic because of the violent destruction that crushes and destroys at noonday. He covered us from head to toe, 24 hours a day and all of that. Did you see it? Noonday, daytime, nighttime, anytime, what time, sleep time. You won't even have nightmares. 1,000 sent by the enemy may be cast down at your side. Oh, that just about got me. And a countless thousands on your right hand. Oh, my goodness. But it won't come close to you, affect you, or disturb you. I can't tell you the people that tell me, man, I can't even watch the news no more. I don't watch the news. I read the news. But you know what? I can, because it doesn't affect me. It doesn't disturb me. It does nothing to me. But it gives me some of them prayer points. That's really true, man. I mean, if you absorb that stuff, whew, then I hear you. But look at that. He, without a doubt, your physical and spiritual eyes will observe, inspect, and recognize the payment for the damages that were earned by the wicked, the immoral, and the corrupt. Because you have established the Lord, who is my shelter from danger, the supreme God, as your place of habitation. Good word. You need to look that up. That means you live there. It means you put your furniture in there. It means you put your feet up on the furniture in there. It means you take your socks off. It means you walk around in your underwear. Do you hear what I'm saying? I have slept in many places, but there's only one habitation, and it's my house. Now, my mom's still alive, so don't walk around in my underwear. But when mom goes home, I'm walking in my underwear again, because that's my habitation. Do you get what I'm saying? When he becomes your habitation, not your visit, not your hotel visit on Sunday mornings, when he becomes your habitation, look at this powerful stuff. Not a molecule, I love that, not a molecule of hurtful, spiteful pain or misery will approach or encounter you, nor will a speck of any injury, disease, or virus threaten your home, for he will give orders to his angels to responsibly care for you, to watch over and protect you in every aspect of your journey in life. And in the palm of their hands, angels, they will support and sustain you so that you won't stumble and smack your foot against any rock that's big or small. Verse 13, we're close to home. You will march and stomp on the lion and the venomous viper, the young lion and the poisonous snake. You shall crush and flatten, because he has longed for and fastened onto my love. Because I have longed for and I've fastened onto his love, not mine for him. You get it. But I fastened onto his love for me, which helps my love for him. It's kind of hard not to love somebody that loves you, isn't it? That's what's frustrating about my wife. I want to be mad at her sometimes, but she loves me. You know what I'm saying? Same way with her, though. But I especially when we were young, I figured out, because she'd get real mad at me, man. I mean, like, you know the difference between mad and real mad. Well, when she was just like mad, I didn't care. She'd just, I'll go have your little hissy fit. But when she was real mad, I learned the trick. And she's not in here, so I'll tell you. I would go up to her and grab her
And it was like a demonic animal was trying to come out of her. Let me go. And I wouldn't let her go. No, Leviathan, get thee behind me. And I'm we're just fire. And then finally, she'd get tickled and start laughing. And it's over. I remember one time, this is probably the worst fight we ever had. And this is 100 years ago. I mean, we didn't have babies. And she was mad at me, and rightly so, about some stuff. I will never tell you what it was. But no, we had a banquet that she's in charge of. Anyway, I wasn't very good. I wanted to leave early, blah, 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 whatever. She was mad, so mad, she's sleeping on the couch. Now, this is funny. I'm so glad she's not here. Although some of you are going to run back there after and say, oh, you won't believe. And y'all are all like, God, tell us, please tell us. Here's what I should do. And then next week, I'll let you know. No. So she's mad, right? Well, she's so mad, I'm. It's like, I've never seen this mad. So I'm like, oh, God, what am I going to do this time? You know, hugging wasn't going to work this time because she might have had a knife, you know. So she's on the couch. So I'm laying in the bed. And of course, nobody sleeps when you're mad at your spouse, right? Come on, spouses, isn't there nothing worse than you have you wish you had a king-size bed when you only have a queen-size bed because you won't touch each other because you're mad at each other. Then you accidentally touch, so all night you're trying to make sure you don't touch. Anyway, yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. Oh, well, I almost went somewhere else. Anyway, so she's there, and I got this idea. So I crawl on the floor. Because I think she's about asleep. I'm not asleep because it's funny. She could sleep because it was my fault. If you can't sleep, maybe you need to look at your watch. So I'm the one who couldn't sleep. She was kind of asleep on the couch. So I'm creeping on, and then she doesn't see me. I go to the front door. Bam, 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 bam. I shoot back to the bedroom. She jumps up out of sleep. Steve, 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 Steve. She comes running back to the bedroom. And I'm like, honey, you're going to sleep with me now. Did you do that? Yeah, she couldn't help but laugh. She had to laugh. I mean, that's the biggest, my biggest getting out of fights is laugh. Or my son learned from me, too, is diverting, you know. Every time we live in California, Jake would do something wrong, and I'd be stern. Jake, now you can't do that anymore. I'm telling you, it's going to hurt somebody. Da, da, da. And he would go, remember when we saw that shark at the beach yesterday? And I would get tickled. And when you get tickled, it's hard to abuse your children. All right, let's finish. Sorry. Because he has longed for and fastened onto my love, I'm going to make a way of escape for him. I will place him out of harm's way in a high, Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2, in a high and impregnable position. And because he is intimately known and declared my character, he will cry out to me and I will respond to him. And I will be with him when he's distressed and worried and upset or afflicted. I will liberate and equip him, admire. He can't do that. He can't do that. He will admire and adore me. Me! When I pulled that out of that scripture, it took me about 30 minutes. And I really didn't want to write it down. But it's true. He doesn't just love you. He adores you. He adores you. Wow. Listen, if you're here today and you haven't had Jesus in your life, how in the hernia can you not want him to be a part of your life? Good Lord. He's the only one that loves you right where you're at. He's the only one that loves you. He doesn't expect you to change. Oh, you'll change. Sure you will. Because you plant in the vine, man. And when you plant in the vine, John 15, I'm the vine, you're the branch. When you plant in the vine, you're going to naturally draw nurture from him. And so you're going to beautifully blossom into this wonderful rose. Rather than go to a church and they take you as a rose and they try to pearl the petals out so you don't look so bad. You don't got to change nothing. Oh, but you'll change. He says, I will transform you. Metamorphosis is the word from the word metamorphi. It's the same word as metamorphosis. I will change you. I will transform you by the renewing of your mind. It's the way we think
that's so messed up. Sorry, I'm preaching now. He will cry out to me and I will respond to him. I will be with him when he's distressed. I will liberate and equip him, admire and adore him. And with long life, I will reward and enrich him and will give him insight, discernment, and wisdom of my abundance, my prosperity, my success, my redemption, and my victory. He didn't just write that to be funny. David wrote that in Psalms. That is powerful when we really start believing it. But here's probably my frustration. I can't make people believe. Here's what's so funny. For years, preachers would just try to make people change. You know, it's by pointing out how bad you are and your terrible sins. And that didn't work out too well, did it? But I can't make you believe the truth. I can't make you believe the truth. But I can walk in it. And that's where I'm at right now. Here's my other secret, and I'll shut up. And they got some kind of something going on. If y'all been invited to it, please go to it. If you haven't been invited to it, sorry. I don't even know what it is. It's something. Sorry, I'm just kidding. I got to dig out of this, Steve. It's something for the kids, with people with kids and stuff, right? Yeah. Kids of children church age. Because when I say that, my mom, if she was here, could go, well, I'm going, you know, because I'm her son. You know, anyway. Here's my latest. I'm starting to feel younger again. And actually, to be brutally honest with you, I've been doing this for about 6 months, and I've seen a huge change in every avenue of me. Physically is important. Most of y'all have been here when I was going through my little physical stuff, so that's really in a really cool place right now. But it's just all this other thing. But here's what I did. You know, I got on eBay. And I bought a box of communion, those communion, pre-communion cup thingy-doos. And every day, I have communion. Now, when I say communion, everybody has their own understanding in their mind. Oh, yeah, it's a piece of bread, a cup, you know. The whole purpose of communion is not for you to examine yourself and how evil you are. But wait a minute, it says that in Corinthians. No, what it says, if you'll break it out and understand it, squeeze more toothpaste out than just read it, it means you will examine to see if you honestly believe that the bread represents your healing. Don't even get to the blood yet. Your bread represents healing. Physical healing. It's true. That's what the bread represents. That's what communion is. Jesus said, do this to remember me. Why do I want to remember you? That's why. So you take the bread. The cup represents the blood, which is for what? What did he say? The forgiveness of your sins. No longer is there blood pouring on the top. Oh, it's out of here. The top of the mercy seat. No longer are your sins covered. Now they're totally away. But you have to believe that. And so you take the cup and you're like, oh God. And you don't have to go through the brutalness of it. You just have to pause and take time and recognize. Wow. And then if you'll read on in that scripture where it says examine yourselves, because we always got stuck there. I can't tell you the times that my mother, for years, would not take communion because she would examine herself. And she said she wasn't worthy. Because the Bible says, examine yourselves to see that you're worthy. Again, if you study it out and understand it, why would he be so mean there and not in other places? He's either all mean or he's all good. Do you hear what I'm saying? He's all good, ladies and gentlemen. So that set my mother free when I shared that with her. So once we get that instilled in us, once we understand the power of it, and the power is this, it's nothing magical. This is what I'm saying. So, in other words, some people, because of the way that we've been taught and think, it's like, oh man, so I'll just do communion 5 days and I'll be healed. Well, it's possible. It's one of those things where you don't even realize what's going on in you till you get up one day and you're like, wow, I, you know, and not every time is it about, sometimes I think it's just to get my brain back on point, which is, you are my healer, and you are my provider, and you took away, look, more than the bread from Steve, it's the blood. Because if he hadn't done that, taking care of all that stuff, who cares about my health? But because he loves us so much that he shed his blood to take care of all of our sin forever and ever, it's just powerful. And as we remember him in that, I think that's part of the process in my life where I'm getting younger, I've decided. God help you all. Well, now you're kind of like, you know what, though, when you do get old, you kind of turn back into a child, don't you? You know, lose your teeth, you lose your hearing, kind of stare dead in the headlights. Diapers, can't talk. Wow, Johnny, who you been around, man?
I got a granddaughter.
Look what we have forward to. But you know what? I promise you, when you reach the point where you'll be satisfied with it, where you know it's a tetelestai, I've told you that means completely finished. Remember, I've always used that expression, completely finished. No more touch-up needs to be done. Everything's in order. And I was telling my, I got so tracked, I didn't finish my granddad's story. My granddad in that coma. Then I decided my wife would have got me back on track and y'all would have been left by now. Last story, and I really will shut up. He was in this coma. The whole family's there. And we're just kind of staring at him. You know, and, you know, have we released him? Yeah, and we're just singing songs to him. He's a preacher for years. And, you know, what do you do? You know, we've already said, we don't know if he's hearing. We already said, Dad, you know. And all of a sudden, true story, he sits up, bright, bushy-tailed, starts pointing to my dad. I need you to do this. And they had 9 kids. You need to do this, you need to do this, you do this, this, you do it, you do that, bam, you do that, you do that, you do that. Yes, sir. Conk, gone. That's it. He was satisfied. So in that way, it's not that we can decide how long we get to live, but there is this thing that says, if you stay in that secret place, in that habitation, take your shoes off and put your feet up and live there, I'm going to satisfy you with long life, if it's long life that you want to be satisfied with. That's a crazy good God. And I think the closer Paul got to going home, the more he realized, I am satisfied. I want to do that side now. Because that side looks pretty cool. Amen? Stand with me. Well, this concluded our 9 weeks of... What started that whole thing was I was thinking about teaching the Eagle series. And in the first one of the Eagle series, I closed the Eagle series, the first sermon, with that block of scripture. And it jumped in my spirit. So I might get the Eagle sometime. I'm thinking I should probably do one on turkey. Teaching on turkeys. No, I'm kidding. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for these folks. I thank you that you gave us a full day of getting to see the water baptism, so powerful, and the proclamation of purity and releasing our staff under the arms and the wings of this congregation. Father, we're full today, but we understand we're full today because of you. God, I don't know how to make people believe. I don't know how to do that. But I do know what you did in my life. From back when I was stupid and drugs to all the way to now in my 20s. So by the way, when you pray, you don't have to tell the truth. He'll remind you. But God, I just pray that you'll just open the hearts of folks and help them to see that you're everything you say you are, that your love is scandalous and crazy for us. Somehow help everyone to start believing that you adore us. Wow. And God, I know that's what's doing the change in my life, that transformation of my mind of thinking I was this terrible, horrible, never going to line up to what you expected. that's being healed and whole, and that transformation's happening. And I'm starting to believe the truth of who you are. I do kind of want to understand it, but I don't think I can wrap the old brain around it. So I'm trying to let my heart do that part. So I pray for everyone in here that has felt distant from you, and I'm going to use all the Christian terms, distant and out of touch, and God, just tell them to quit being silly and just to start hanging with you, because today's a new day. Today's the beginning of the rest of your life, as we love to say, but it's really true, God. Help us to sense and know that. Haunt these people today with your love and your mercy and your grace. Overwhelm them, tackle them, jump on them, judge them harshly in those areas of love and mercy and grace. I love you so much, Dad. And I thank you for this place and these people in your name. Amen. And God bless Christian Center Fort Worth. Woo! Bless you guys. Thanks for coming.